Aaron, welcome to the show.
Hi, Bob. Thanks for having me.
All right, just tell me about the beginning. Where did you get the idea for this?
So I started Urban Dictionary 10 years ago. I was a freshman going to Cal Poly State University in San Luis Obispo, California. I was looking for something to occupy my time. I was also looking for a way to document the differences in English between the way that I spoke it and the way that my roommates were speaking it. And I thought that a dictionary would be more legitimate if the definitions were written by normal people who speak the language instead of, researchers.
I've got to say, in concept at least, it sort of reminded me of the kind of story I've seen in Time magazine pretty much every 18 months for 40 years, where they try to define for adults the slang that is used by teenagers and young adults. And often enough, those things come off as stilted and pretty ridiculous. I gather there's a difference between Urban Dictionary's approach and the typical Newsweeklies.
The difference is that Urban Dictionary's definitions are all written by people who come to visit the site. So all 4 million definitions that have been submitted to Urban Dictionary in the last 10 years were written by random people from around the world who just happened to find my website and found it missing a particular word like skank or something like that. So all the definitions are written by normal people. A lot of those people are young kids. 80% of the people who visit Urban Dictionary are under 25 years old.
Well, as long as we're talking percentages, what percentage of the 4 million definitions consists of words that are pornographic or drug use related?
I haven't actually measured that. Although I saw somebody tweet the other day on Twitter.com that if Urban Dictionary doesn't have a sexual connotation in a definition for a word, the word doesn't exist. So I think it's pretty common for that kind of thing to exist on Urban Dictionary. And that's a lot because Urban Dictionary doesn't really hold back. Like, there isn't a panel of people who make sure that the things in Urban Dictionary are clean.
Boy, I'll say it doesn't. I'll say it doesn't. It's not like the Department of Motor Vehicles at your state that's trying to make sure that some vanity plate application doesn't consist of a word or a term that turns out to be obscene. You don't offer that service. Au contraire.
The way that something gets onto Urban Dictionary is somebody submits a definition, then it gets reviewed by three volunteers who are also just random site visitors. And if they agree that something should go online, then it does. So every 24 hours, there are about 1,000 new published definitions on UrbanDictionary.com.
Now, I hardly know how to go about conducting this interview because one of the delights and simultaneously one of the most appalling things about the Urban Dictionary is the level of graphic detail that you find in definitions to terms that on the face of it don't sound all that repulsive or sexual or illegal. And yet you discover that, a common household term or, a menu item can actually refer to something that is just, well, let's just say, just a bit on the off-color side. Did these things exist before you, or have they been kind of created by a subculture of people who want to be in the lexicon?
I can't tell if these words existed with these meanings before Urban Dictionary. I know that some people submit definitions to Urban Dictionary just because they want to be a part of the experiment or be a part of the site. Have a part of it that they could call their own, or to cause that shock that you describe when you look up a word that you think was innocent and turns out to have this double meaning. I can't tell if it's that, or if those words actually have that double meaning in the real world, and Urban Dictionary is just reflecting that. But that's kind of the part of the fun of visiting the site, is that a lot of the definitions are totally false. They're definitely not objective. They're definitely fun to read, and they're obviously written by an individual with a lot of emotion and experience with the word. And so it's really the reader's responsibility to figure out if the definition you're reading is relevant to you or whether it's accurate.
As I said, this is a difficult conversation to have because I just would so love to offer details, but simply cannot. But I wonder, just to pursue this point one step further, I interviewed a guy for All Things Considered a few years ago who liked to break Guinness Book of World records. And he would pogo stick underwater and walk long distances with cinder blocks pinched between his thumb and forefinger just to get in the book. Do you think you have people who are coining preposterous off-color terminology just for the purpose of being enshrined in Urban Dictionary?
Yeah, I think that's probably true. There are people out there. I don't know if they're going to make it into the Guinness Book of World Records by submitting the most number of obscene definitions to Urban Dictionary, but I definitely know that people are out there doing that kind of stuff. One of the things about definitions submitted to Urban Dictionary is that once they're online, people who come to visit the site can give it a thumbs up or a thumbs down. So if something goes up and it's wildly inaccurate or just ridiculous, it'll probably get more thumbs down than up. So that's a clue to the reader that the definition submitted probably shouldn't be trusted.
Now, I referred a moment ago to the panels of taste police at the various motor vehicle bureaus around the country who try to make sure that no one's sneaking in a dirty term on a vanity plate. But in fact, Urban Dictionary did figure in to a case of DMV censorship. Can you tell me that story?
Yeah, there was a guy in Nevada who had a vanity license plate with the letters H-O-E. He owned a Chevy Tahoe.
A Tahoe. H-O-E.
Yes, he owned a Chevy Tahoe. He enjoyed visiting Lake Tahoe, and so he had a customized license plate called Ho. So he had this license plate for a while, and then one time when he went to renew it, they decided that his license plate was inappropriate because they had visited Urban Dictionary and found that there was a definition for a Ho that could be considered offensive.
Which is Ho as in prostitute or woman of easy virtue or some such thing. But I thought that was spelled H-O.
Well, on Urban Dictionary, really, there isn't an official statement about whether something is spelled one way or another. You'll find the definition you described.
Unlike all other dictionaries.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I'm not a lexicographer, but I've heard this described as a descriptive dictionary versus a prescriptive dictionary. A prescriptive dictionary would tell you how something is spelled and that this word must be used in this way, whereas a descriptive dictionary tells you that people use H-O-E to mean what you said, and they also use H-O to mean what you said. Urban Dictionary describes how the language is actually used instead of how it should be used, so it won't tell you how to spell a word. It'll just tell you how it's used in the real world.
So how did it play out?
So the guy who owned the customized license plate appealed the decision. It sounds like there was some courtroom stuff involved. The ACLU got involved. And then it sounds like they decided that just because Urban Dictionary says that a word could be considered offensive, that's not a reason in itself to reject somebody's customized license plate. So I think the resolution is that the guy still has this customized license plate.
Yeah, and in this case, the American Civil Liberties Union, no less, kind of dissed you. And I'm assuming diss is a word that I can find in the Urban Dictionary. They said that you simply aren't all that authoritative and that the court should pay no attention whatsoever. Were you miffed?
It's okay to not always use Urban Dictionary as an authority when deciding these kinds of things. I mean, when it comes down to it, the stuff that's written on Urban Dictionary could be wildly inaccurate. It's just written by random people. It could have been written by somebody just 2 hours ago. It's kind of like referring to Wikipedia to make a decision like this, I think.
Now, I wanted, of course, to cite examples of some of the more imaginative formulations, but I can't do my 400 favorites because they're all, you know, really, really, really dirty. But what about cleverness that, you know, is in the service of something that we can talk about on the radio?
Well, there's one that showed up recently in the media called Pulling a Palin. I don't know if you heard this. It must have been about a month and a half ago when Sarah Palin resigned as governor of Alaska. It was entered on July 8th, 2009. It means abandoning the responsibility entrusted to you by your neighbors for book advances and to make money on the lecture circuit. So this definition of pulling a Palin showed up on television, on Keith Olbermann's show, and in a few other places. It was really popular for a little while.
Yeah. Now, as I look at your online dictionary, I see many pulling a formulations, a pulling a Perry, pulling a Petson, pulling a Schwebs, pulling a trailer, pulling a Vinny, pulling an Ash, pulling an Obama. I mean, there's scores of these. There may be hundreds. Maybe it's thousands. Mm-hmm. Once again, I must ask, is there any evidence that most of these have ever been used outside of the person who has posted the definition?
No, there's no evidence. Unless you click on one of these things and you find that there are a lot of thumbs up, that other people really agree with that definition, you're probably looking at a joke definition or something that nobody has ever used. But still, it can be entertaining to read.
It can be. I was laughing out loud at something that was truly offensive. So I have to ask you this. You have a lot of traffic on Urban Dictionary, and it's expensive to pay for the bandwidth that is required to service all of our Urban Dictionary needs. Online advertising pay the bills?
Online advertising does. But I'm kind of lucky because the format of Urban Dictionary is all text. It doesn't require a lot of internet power to transmit this amount of text. It requires a lot of power to transmit audio or video. But fortunately for me, just because there are 4 million definitions on here, that doesn't mean that I have YouTube-style bandwidth bills. So I'm able to keep my expenses pretty small, even though Urban Dictionary serves about 15 million people a month now.
So what was the first entry in the Urban Dictionary?
I don't know exactly what the first definition was in Urban Dictionary, but I know that one of the first was a definition for the man, like T-H-E space M-A-N. And I'll look up the most popular definition of the man for you right now. The most popular definition of the man today on Urban Dictionary says that he's the head of the establishment put in place to bring us down. I think it's kind of appropriate that it was one of the first definitions in Urban Dictionary, because Urban Dictionary has this personality of being so rebellious and just kind of going its own way.
All right, now our producer, Nazanin Rafsanjani, has a personal favorite. It is, Mom, I'm sorry, food douche.
Food douche, a person that thinks they know the best place to get any one specific item of food, and that the places you know all suck.
Keep reading.
Sure. Jason says, I love this turkey sandwich. Joey says, this sandwich sucks. I know a place with the best turkey sandwich I've ever had. Jason, you are such a food douche.
Obviously, the ACLU just has no clue.
I was going to mention, so maybe the ACLU said that in the most recent case, Urban Dictionary isn't good enough to refer to when you're deciding whether a license plate is offensive. But actually, I personally worked with the ACLU about 4 years ago in a case regarding the Child Online Protection Act. The Child Online Protection Act was a law that would have forced website publishers like me to make sure that all of my content was not offensive when viewed by people who are underage, which would have severely limited my operation. Anyway, so I worked with the ACLU on that case, and they won it, fortunately. For me, and for other web publishers like me, because I wouldn't be able to operate if that law were in effect.
Yeah, I'll say you wouldn't. I should say as, and on that point, I should make the disclaimer that, we got kids in the audience. So what do I say?
The kids are the ones who are visiting my site, just because they're in the audience. I mean, They already know what food douche means. It's the parents you got to worry about.
Yeah. Now, of course, I applaud any... Now, of course, I applaud the freedom of expression, but a whole lot of your audience is young, and some percentage of that audience must be really young. Do you get a little queasy at the idea of just how informed a very, let's say, grade schoolers might be by going onto Urban Dictionary, ultra informed in a way that is kind of gross?
Well, I don't have kids of my own yet, so I have a different perspective than parents who might be visiting Urban Dictionary. But I think it's a good thing that the truth is out there for some of these words, that anybody, whether they're young or old, can tell what this word means. I think the alternative is to tell kids that these words don't exist, which just isn't true. These words exist out there, and people are using them, and so everybody should know what they mean.
Well, I mean, we obviously have to face the fact that the school playground is a free market of ideas and of language. That said, about 5 minutes on Urban Dictionary could feed the schoolyard material for, you know, maybe 1,000 years. Pretty raw.
Yeah. Maybe my perspective will change on this when I have kids. But right now, I'm really happy with the way that Urban Dictionary is so free that anybody can add a definition, and it goes online.
Well, I must say that I have been a satisfied user because more than once I have used a word or phrase in front of my daughters who are in their 20s and watched them just dissolve into laughter. I mean, holding their sides, frothing at the mouth, laughing so hard because I've inadvertently invoked a phrase that had I only looked it up in the Urban Dictionary, I would have known was inappropriate in every way humanly possible. Mm-hmm. So yeah. I now know not to use certain of these terms. And by the way, I would love to mention them now, but simply can't. That's me, the adult, now knowing how to be careful when speaking in front of young adults. But what about little kids who can log into Urban Dictionary and come up with a vocabulary that I, as a parent, just don't want my 8-year-old child to have?
I think there are other ways that kids exchange words like this other than visiting Urban Dictionary. I'm happy that Urban Dictionary is a place that anybody can go and figure out what they mean, but just because the site exists, I don't think that makes a kid's vocabulary worse than it would be otherwise. Because they've got friends, they talk at school and stuff, they talk on the playground, and I'm sure that these words are floating around, and maybe we should be happy that they're documented on Urban Dictionary so that people who aren't 12 years old can actually figure out what they're talking about.
Yeah, okay. I'll give you that one. Not everything on the Urban Dictionary is obscene. Some of it is race-related, which can be not so much fun, but also very useful. You saw a tweet recently which caught your attention.
So I saw a tweet recently where somebody said that her coworker just discovered that her grandmother was seriously racist. Thanks, Urban Dictionary.
Do you know the word that she looked up that was the smoking gun for grandma's bigotry?
Unfortunately, this person didn't mention it in their tweet.
Okay, so there was the DMV case, but there was another court case in England that turned to the Urban Dictionary for assistance. Tell me about the rap song, the defamation case.
This was one of the first times that Urban Dictionary showed up in a court proceeding, and it was in the United Kingdom. A judge was hearing a case between two rappers. One rapper claimed that the other one had attacked him in a song, and the court couldn't figure out what was actually going on in the song, and so they referred to Urban Dictionary. The judge went to Urban Dictionary, looked up the words these guys were saying, came back and said that he still couldn't figure it out and that it might as well be another language.
Because some of the words were shizzle and schnizzle and I don't even know what all. So what were the words? I mean, if you dare.
So I'm looking at an article here from the Sydney Morning Herald titled Court Row Over Rap Lyrics Leaves UK Judge Dazed and Confused. And it says that the words that showed up in the song were shizzle my nizzle, mish mash man, and string them up. So I guess those are the words that the judge went to the Urban Dictionary to try to define.
Hey, Aaron.
Mm-hmm.
You got to grab a Webster's Dictionary. I'm pretty sure
Why?
It's pronounced row.
Oh, man. Wow. Thank you.
Yeah. So here's a new definition for you. When someone ostentatiously corrects your pronunciation, pull in a bob. So have you got any examples for me from the 4 million that we can, you know, talk about on the radio?
I can tell you about one that's shown up a lot in the media recently. It's called teabagging.
Okay, now be careful. I've read this one.
Oh, yeah, so have I. And I'm surprised that it's shown up in the media so frequently. But in April, there was a group of people that formed to protest taxes, and they called themselves the teabaggers. Unfortunately, that word has a very offensive definition in Urban Dictionary. They neglected to look it up before naming their organization.
You mean the Tea Party participants called themselves teabaggers?
Yeah, they called themselves teabaggers without looking it up in Urban Dictionary. And tax day, April 15th, was the biggest single day that I've had on Urban Dictionary ever. Like 900,000 people came to visit the site on that day, and teabagging was the most popular definition of that day.
Okay, now even that's a little edgy. Have you got any that isn't going to make anybody wince?
Yeah, tons, yeah. Every day I pick one of my favorite definitions on Urban Dictionary and put it on the front page. The other day that word was joke insurance. Joke insurance is when two friends have a mutual understanding to laugh at each other's jokes even when they're not funny. Fun employment is pretty popular these days. Sexting showed up a lot in the news. So one of my other favorite definitions is afterclap. An after-clapper is the person who continues to clap even after the rest of the audience has stopped clapping. And according to Urban Dictionary, those people are normally the parents of the performers on stage. So you can tell who the after-clappers are.
Is that the only definition for after-clap? If it is, I'm surprised.
Well, one of the things about featuring these words on the front page is that they get so much attention that people start adding alternative definitions for them. So I'm sure that after-clap has the definition you're looking for by now.
I think we've hit on the problem with after-clap. There's hardly a word or a phrase that you can come out with that doesn't have the potential for some sort of double entendre.
I think that's true, but I don't think that's Urban Dictionary's fault. I mean, that's in the minds of everybody. Another of my favorite definitions that showed up on UrbanDictionary.com's front page is finger guns, described by Urban Dictionary as a way for creepy people with mustaches to say hello or I understand. Hold your fingers in the shape of guns and point at someone who just arrived. Bend thumbs to simulate shooting your finger guns and make a clicking sound with your mouth. Maybe accompanied by a wink in extreme cases.
Wait, what does the mustache have to do with all that?
I'm not sure, but it just paints more of the picture, you know, so you know who's using the finger guns.
All right, Aaron. I can't take this anymore. Thanks.
Thank you, Bob. It's a pleasure to be here.
Aaron Peckham is the founder of UrbanDictionary.com.